I had this whole message prepared to talk about the divine nature of God. And I guess part of that divine nature is being willing to submit to that divinity. That he is so good and he so prepares us for whatever we need. And as I look around, I feel like the Lord wants to remind us of how good we are and what our call is to live a life apart from anything that wreaks havoc. Let's bring those lights up a little bit, Michael. We are a people saved by grace. We're a people that the Lord sent his son to say, I need them back. He said, I need them back. Because they're slaves to sin right now, and I want them to become slaves to me. The Lord wants a people that are sold out and devoted to him. Sold out and devoted. Giving him everything. Giving him all of our lives, all of our conversations, all of our passions, all of our desires, all of our decisions, all of our relationships. He wants our kids. He wants the way we raise those kids. And what he doesn't want is a church model where it's become a business trying to grow people and the number of people by growing a budget to do great things that don't change anything. That's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants a people coming together that are going to change an area, bringing the glory of God to it like we've never seen. One thing that the Lord was showing me this week, I think I will say this. I believe there is a scripture up there in Acts 3. I want to see if this is the one I'm supposed to read. Repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Now, repent of your sins. That does not mean to come up to an altar and say, I'm sorry 100 times. It means you need to change the way you think about how you're thinking about everything. Because the way you're thinking about everything is bringing about a lifestyle called sin. So he says you need to repent. You need to change the way you think. Turn away from that lifestyle and turn to God. And when you turn to God, your sins are wiped away. Next verse. Times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. Not might, but they will come. You will be refreshed when you go through a change the way you think that takes you out of sin and into glory. And he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. Now here's where I want to focus on, verse 21. He must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. And you can just leave that up there. He must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things. What the church has taught for years is we have to bear the time on the earth until the Lord returns. How many of you believe Jesus is going to return? Okay. But what we have missed is this. He must remain until the time for the final restoration. Which means we are not supposed to be here waiting until restoration. He says if there is a final restoration, then final means there has to be a process that he finalizes. And what the church has become is a people waiting for Jesus to restore the earth. When Jesus says, I'm putting my final mark on what you should be restoring. Not, he must remain until the time for restoration, but he must remain in heaven until the time for final restoration. We have a responsibility as the people of God to walk as heaven on earth beings, which brings everything back into order. Which brings everything back to God. We are supposed to be walking in such a way to where our homes look like heaven. To where our churches look like heaven. If we believe that Jesus is the image that we should strive for, why do we throw kids away in a room and hope that they have good kids' church when Jesus was teaching the priests at 12 years old? If we are to walk in his image, shouldn't our kids be teaching us at 12? Can we be wild enough to believe that there is something in these children? Can we be wild enough to believe there's something in these teenagers? Can we be wild enough to believe that there is something in us that this world needs? I've been having a lot of conversations this week about the demonic, about spiritual beings and spiritual warfare. Let me tell you exactly how they work. The scripture says that there is a reserve for them. There's an area that they are allowed, that they are reserved for, that they are allowed to traffic in. There's an area that they can do what they want to do in. And that area, that place reserved for them, is called ignorance, darkness. Why were we never meant to take of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil? Because he said, I don't want you to have any knowledge of anything but me. And if all you have is knowledge of me, demons that are on the earth that fell in a rebellion from heaven cannot operate, because you won't be ignorant of anything because you have no knowledge of anything. But because we ate of knowledge, they traffic in what you do not know. So when you forfeit knowing God in every area, they will find areas of which they can work until you gain knowledge. Is this making sense? So why do we raise up a child in the way it should go? Because if they have knowledge of a thing, then they can walk in such a way where they will never have to have a war with a thing. Adults, if we are finding that there's areas of our life where we keep giving in to sin, we have to realize that there is a reserve for darkness to operate, because they know something that you don't. They have a place to operate because they know something that you don't. They see an open door. They see an opportunity. And you not having knowledge of how do I give this to God gives them a permission to traffic in that area. So we take things casually, like what we allow our eyes to see, what we allow our ears to hear. The conversations that we have that we call edification, but it's actually gossip, right? The fault we try to point at people, right? You know, this person's doing that wrong, this person's doing that wrong, and then we always bring up the scripture of, well, you need to remove the speck in your own eye before you point out the speck in someone else's. But the point of removing the speck out of your own eye is so that we can help people take a speck, not crucify them because of their speck. And what happens is when we start to try to crucify people, if you will, if we try to push people down instead of building them up, the ignorance of you thinking you're doing the right thing gives permission for the demonic to traffic. Right? Why does Jesus say to bless those who persecute you? Because if he says you've been taught eye for an eye, if you try to get even, that's an area they can traffic, because you don't know what getting even opens up for them. So he says, turn the cheek. Bring a different knowledge to it. Think about what Jesus did. They crucified him, and he said, forgive them. They know not what they do. Why did he do that? Because in forgiving those who persecuted him, he did not allow the enemy to traffic in what he was doing. Is this making sense? Okay. Jesus was not going to give the enemy any ground. So he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Could he have called down fire from heaven at any moment? Of course. But the scripture says that Jesus chose to give up his divine privileges because he knew if he could be humble and do what he was called to do, then no demonic force, including Satan himself, could come in and mess up anything, because the knowledge of the Father and coming to the Father is a place where the demonic cannot be. Let me read this. I'm pulling this up, Romans chapter 6. It says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? You know what that scripture just said? Stop telling people you're building your testimony with a sin lifestyle. You know what a testimony is? Walking out of sin, not how bad your sin was. Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Now think about that statement. If you have died to sin, how can you still live in it? That's a question that all of us need to ask. If you have an area of your life where you keep on sinning, where you keep falling in this area, he begs the question, why are you doing it? You've died to sin by coming yes to Jesus. Why are you doing it? Because there's an area where you don't have knowledge that's allowing them to traffic. Like if you don't have knowledge of your authority in Christ, you're going to give in to any whisper. You're going to give in to any whisper of take your life. You'll give in to a whisper of you're not good enough. If you have knowledge that God came and died for you because of your worth, then you would understand that any whisper of you're not good enough is a lie. And the moment you reject it, a demon or Satan cannot traffic in an area called not good enough, because you know the truth that you are good enough. You are right. You are justified by the Lamb of God. The moment you take on a I'm not good enough, you just gave Satan permission to mess with you. I've talked about this for weeks. He is called the prince of the power of the air. We are called priests and kings of the earth. Therefore, in a kingdom government, what is higher, a king or a prince? A king. So Satan does not have more authority than you. He has a reserve that he can traffic in. He has a reserve that he can work in. So how do you overcome spiritual warfare and battle with the enemy? You come to know God, so nothing else has permission to get in your knowing. Is this okay? Have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? We died and we were buried with Christ. As Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we are raised to life as he was. Our old sinful selves were crucified so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. And we'll sing that song all day. I'm no longer a slave to sin. But the next Saturday, you're repenting from the sin that you were a slave to. Are we foolish enough to believe that we can actually get away from the chains of sin and say yes to all that the Lord has? The key to giving up chains of sin is to finally believe what he has told you. I have made you right. You are the righteousness of God. You are purified and set free. When you start to actually believe that, you will actually start to believe what the Lord wants to do in you and through you in this earth. I want you to know that despite what you've been told, the Lord loves you and He is not disappointed in you. I don't know your name, I don't know your story, but I want you to know that the Father just, oh, right now in the name of Jesus, He loves you and He is so glad that you are home. And He has plans for you that you think He has given up on. Lord, just restore the days that he thinks he's lost. I speak right now in the name of Jesus that every word curse spoken over this man is broken right now. You're good. You're a great man. Father, I just speak healing over his mind, over his heart, over his soul. Does anybody have a word for this man? I just speak right now. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? He's a good father. Don't look at him through any other eyes of goodness. You hear that? I speak to the demonic warfare that he struggles with every day. And I say right now in the name of Jesus, you are set free from that bondage. I speak to the restlessness of you waging war with things that you don't even understand, and that tonight there will not be any trafficking in your dreams and you will have the best rest you've had in a long time. I speak the love of God over you. You are not a slave to anything but the love of God. He will come for the final restoration of all things, but there will be restoration in the meantime. Yeah. How do you feel right now? What do you feel right now? Yeah? Do you feel the love of God? He said, what just happened? Does that mean something happened? Something lifted or something? Come on, testify, man. Tell us. Can we just praise God right now? Come on. Holy, holy. Come on, y'all. Are you Lord God? Almighty, you are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. You're worthy. Worthy is the Lamb, for you are holy. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. You're worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Ah, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
He's been waiting. He's been waiting for you. Promises you thought were lost will be restored tenfold. And He wants you to know that He sees you And he loves you more than you know. Look to him. Keep looking to him. Jesus.
I want to keep going in six in this moment. When Jesus died, he died once to break the power of sin. He lives for glory. So consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin. And alive to God. You know, I think I need to correct some of my own theology in this moment. The spirit is saved. The soul was being saved. And so is the flesh. Because my flesh does not make decisions apart from God. And we need to open up our minds to reality that as we come to know God, so will our flesh. Because I can tell you, when I was in my early 20s and when I was a teenager, I looked at things on the internet that I should not have. If you hear what I'm saying, you hear what I'm saying? But as the years went on, I no longer had a taste or desire for it. My flesh came into correction with right desires. So did my mind. So did my heart. It says in verse 12, do not let sin control the way we live. There is an authority that Christ has set on you to say, sin is not your master. He is. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve God. Give yourselves completely to God. You were dead, but now you have life. Use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. You no longer live under the requirements of the law. Live under the freedom of God's grace. You're no longer bound by anything but the love of God. You know what the kingdom of God is in the earth? A people who operate under heaven's system, not the world's. I was reading scripture today where Paul was talking and he says, I wish you Gentiles would get so saved that will make Israel jealous. You ever read that scripture? Could we become a people so wild in the Lord that people would say, what do they have that I don't? Could we be that people? But it ain't going to happen until we give up anything not of him, where we just edify the mess out of each other. We lift each other up. We call out potential. We call out dreams. We call out destiny. We do not take a diagnosis as the norm. We speak to sickness and we say, get the heck out of here. We speak to disease and say, you have to bow to our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not people who are slaves to anything but Jesus. Can we get so infused with God? So tangled up in the perichoresis, so tangled up in the circle dance of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that we become the fourth man in the fire of God. So infused with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that his likeness, his image, who he is displayed in a people. You know who he is? He's a healer. He's a lover. He's a conqueror. We must not take any reality other than that. He's a good, good father. We're a good, good bride. Because he said, I made man in my image. You have the power in you to overcome anything, not because of you, but because of what you are identified in. The power of the blood of the Lamb. making you right for the Holy Spirit to reside in you. And let me just say this, because we need to make sure we get something right. The Holy Spirit is not an it. Holy Spirit's a person. Yes. And it's important to know that, because we cannot know our character until we know His. My wife and I were talking earlier, and we were talking about Jehovah's Witnesses. And we were looking at the difference in theologies, and you know what one of the differences is? Jehovah's Witnesses believe that the Holy Spirit is not a person. It specifically says that in their theology. I think we need to open our eyes to a Holy Spirit being a person. Like calling Him Holy Spirit and not referring to a power called the Holy Spirit. He is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is His name. And Holy Spirit wants to counsel you. Holy Spirit wants to lead you by the way. And a lot of times we're so focused on wanting to hear the voice of the Father or the voice of the Son that we're negating the voice of Holy Spirit. I was talking about this Tuesday night with some friends. We were talking about going deeper in the Holy Spirit. And I used this example. I wasn't going to do this tonight, obviously, but I'm going to go here. How do you go deeper in Holy Spirit? How do you know what Holy Spirit's doing? You have to be wild enough to believe that God's talking to you. And let me give you an example. And I'm going to use the same example I used Tuesday night if you heard this. You're sitting around and you said, I'm going to meditate with God. I'm going to pray with God. I'm going to talk to God. And all of a sudden you hear birthday cake. And the first thing you think is, oh, let me cut the distraction. I'm trying to focus with God. But let me remind you, you're no longer a slave to anything. So when you sit down and say, God, talk, and you hear birthday cake, maybe you should consider, is He talking? Because what if you wrote that down? And then a few days later, someone gives you a call and says, hey, can you come to this birthday party? And the time of that birthday party, you've got something scheduled, you've got plans, but because you heard birthday cake, you said, okay, I'm going to go to this party. What just happened? You're not just going to a birthday party. You've just realized that Holy Spirit has given you a pathway of an assignment. So you don't go to the birthday party just to celebrate the birthday boy or the birthday girl. You go to the party with eyes open saying, Lord, what do you have for me here? We got to be a people that learn how to not try to fight off demons all day, but welcome voice of Holy Spirit and say, counselor, advocate, helper, where do you want me to go? Case in point tonight, Kyle, don't preach that sermon. I don't know if you saw me, but I was in my Bible. I didn't know, like, why? Obviously, that's one of the reasons why right there. God wants to use you in incredible ways, and you don't have to earn the right to do that. Jesus earned the right to do that. He earned your righteousness. He earned your righteousness. He said, I'm going to pay the cost and put righteousness on you. And righteousness means that you are fully worth, you are fully capable, and you are fully able to just say, whatever you want, do it through me. Whether it's casting out a spirit, leading someone into salvation. Sir, were you saved before tonight? Yeah? What if salvation is no longer a let me lead you in the sinner's prayer? What if salvation is let me introduce you to the one that you did not know? Amen. And just to make sure we're clear, there's nothing wrong with the sinner's prayer. But what if salvation is simply let me show you the one that you do not know? I saw a video the other day that I thought was really powerful. The preacher had all the lights turned off in the room. And he asked one of his staff members to hold up a phone and turn the flashlight on. And, you know, it's a very, we know, you know where I'm going to go with this in Scripture. The Scripture says, you know, light up the darkness. But he brought up a point. With all the darkness in a room of 3,000 people, one flashlight didn't light up nothing. It was a little speck, but the darkness didn't go away. It was still dark. I can't really do that, you know, thing here because it's daylight outside. But then he asked another person to turn on their flashlight, and another, and another, and another, and another. And by the time the whole room had their lights on, guess what happened to the darkness? It went away. So we need to make sure we understand lighting up the darkness is not a solo act. It is a people shining the light of God together so that darkness does not have a chance to traffic. So as a people, when we hear things that are not of God, see things not of God, we have to come together and say, we are not going to allow that here because we have a knowledge of the one who is here with us, and we will not settle for anything less. Lord, what do you want next? Pee-wee, God showing you anything? No? Lord, show me. Okay, yeah. Romans 10. Don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? Don't say who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again. The message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and in your heart. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. It's by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. As the Scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. There is no such thing as some people meant for heaven and some people meant for hell. That is the biggest perversion that has ever been introduced by the church. Yes. You know what the title of this passage is in my Bible? It says, salvation is for everyone. Yes. It is not God's decision who gets saved. God made that decision when he said, I'm sending my son for all of you. It's not God's decision who's going to get saved. He doesn't predestine bad things to happen to you. He has predestined a path for you, and that path is salvation. And he says, I love you so much that I'm going to give you a free will to walk in those steps or not. The problem is we look at scriptures like he will make everything work together for the good of those who seek him and say, God uses everything for a reason. No, no, no. But he will take decisions you made that he never planned for you and make them work to get you back in step. That's what he means when he says that the years will be restored. Because you can have 20 years of bad decisions, and in one moment he said, I'll take all those decisions that I was not a part of, that I did not plan, and I'm going to put them right here and say, now you're back on track. Because he is superb natural. Yes. He is above your natural. So he says, I'm going to do whatever I want with all the stuff that I never wanted. Yes. You know what the religious mindset says? And I've heard a lot of religion this week, so I've heard religious stuff saying that divorced men and women can't preach the gospel. Did the Lord ever want your divorce? I don't think so. But you know what I do know? He says, I'll use anything and make it work.
Yeah.
See, we get in this mindset of, well, I'm doing this thing and God did not approve. Maybe not. But if you turn to him, he'll say, I'll take it and make it approved. That's the grace and power of God. I wrote a post this week in the Facebook family that some of you didn't understand. I said that it's funny how we worship a Jesus that will spit mud and spirit on people's eyes. But a man who waves a white coat over a crowd, we automatically consider a fake. Now, some of you know who that is. Some of you don't know. The person doesn't matter. This is the point of the post. Are we wild enough to believe that God can do whatever he wants, however he wants, through anyone that he wants? The Lord wants to do incredible things. And all he needs is our yes. Your yes tonight, you're going to get so, your life's going to increase and you're not going to understand why. I'm going to tell you the why right now, because you said yes to him. So whatever's lifted, it's up to you to say yes to Jesus, to say yes to Father, to say yes to Holy Spirit. Father God is not a judge in the sky, and Jesus is our grace, and he's the mean one. Father loved you so much that he sent his son, right? Your yes to him is going to catapult you into destiny. It's not over. No matter what decisions you made, nothing is bigger than him. And I want all of us to hear that tonight. He's bigger than everything. He's better than everything. He's greater than everything. His authority is the final authority. I'm going to have to study this, but something that stood out to me earlier when I was up here reading my Bible is talking about God's mercy on Israel in Romans 11. And listen to this. This is the passage where it says, I want to make Israel jealous for me because of how you Gentiles worship me. And it goes on and it's talking about Abraham's descendants and the roots of the tree. And it says, for some of those branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel have been broken off. And you Gentiles, listen to this, you were branches from a wild olive tree. And you've been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing of God as promised Abraham and his children. The blessing of Abraham is not for Israelites. The blessing of Abraham is for all who say yes. You by nature were a branch cut from a wild olive tree. If God was willing to do something contrary to nature by grafting you into his cultivated tree, he will be far more eager to graft the original branches back into the tree where they belong. You know what that's called? He says, I'm going to make all of this work together for good. He says, I want all of you. You know what? If you had a revelation of how much God loves everyone, it would become easier for you to put up with everyone. Because you no longer look at that nuisance as a nuisance. You look at them as a branch that God wants back on the tree. So you're willing to bless those who persecute you. You're willing to turn the other cheek. You're willing to forgive those who are unforgivable. You got anything? Yeah, come on.
It's going to be wild. It does not have anything to do with what you just said except earlier. And I know I'm going to get some stares, so I love you guys. But I just feel really strongly that this is to be done this weekend for this house. And you were talking about restoring everything back to the Lord. And it's Mother's Day weekend. And it's the greatest joy of my life to be a mom. So I feel really strongly that the Lord is calling us mothers to pray over those who are not yet mothers, who desire to be.
I just heard that before you say that.
Let's go. So, if you are not yet a mom, but you need some restoration, so you're going to be a mom this year, I want you to come on up. And if you see someone coming up and you know them, and you're a mom, I want you to come lay hands on them, and we're going to... we're going to pray over them as a house, as a family. Yeah, so that's what we're doing.
What is the call again?
If you need some healing restoration and you want to be a mom this year, if you are not yet a mother and that is your desire, a desire in your heart, us moms are going to pray over you, and we're going to pray over your wombs and, yeah. Come on in. I'll start us off, and then Colleen, I'm going to pass it to you next.
Okay. Oh,
Lord, Jesus, you desire us to be mothers. You've created us this way, Lord. And I just pray restoration over wombs tonight, Lord. The greatest gift of my life, Lord, I pray that you would deliver it to these ladies.
Yes.
That you would make a way for them, Lord. I just hear Hannah's prayer as she desired for a son. She looked crazy, Lord. She looked crazy, and I just pray that crazy prayer over them, Lord. That there would be children this year, Father. That there would be nurseries being put together.
Yes, Lord.
That there would be babies crying, Lord, crying out for their moms. And these women coming to pick them up. Lord, I see it, Father.
Jesus.
I see it, Lord, and I thank you for the children that they will bear.
Yes, Lord. Father God, you are truly a God of restoration, a God of love, Lord Jesus. And Father, you have control over every cell in their bodies, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
So we just ask you to command these cells to go where they need to go, to heal what needs to be healed, to restore what needs to be restored, Lord Jesus. And we just ask you, Father, give them the gift of motherhood, Lord Jesus, a gift I know so well and am so grateful for, Lord. Give them that gift that they so desire. You promised to give us the desires of our heart, Lord Jesus. And we ask for this right now, Lord Jesus. Complete restoration, complete healing. Father, your love is here right now, Lord Jesus. Father, we feel it. We know it, Lord. Restore this to her right now. In Jesus' name, remove any impediment, physical or emotional, Lord Jesus. Make her womb ready, Lord, and give her an abundance of children, Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you right now. We thank you right now. We thank you right now, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus.
Father, we stand on the foundation of your word, the truth of it, Lord. And Lord, we speak it over each one of these women, Lord, that desire to have children, Lord, that desire these blessings, Father. And we pray that that truth, that the promise of your word comes alive within their womb right now, Lord. Just pour your blessing out over them, oh God. Lord, open up. Lord, that blessing that you have spoken over them, Father, the desire that you've placed within their hearts, Lord God, let it come alive now in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. And we pour out, Lord, our agreement and our declarations of these wounds opening up, Lord. Lord, that they are ready to receive, Father. Whatever, Lord, may be coming against them, we rebuke, we just stand against right now in the name of Jesus, and we stand on that firm foundation. Your promise is truth. You speak it, it is true. And we speak it over each one of them right now, Father God, and we thank you. We praise you for the blessings that are about to grow in their wombs, Lord, and become a part of this house and become a part of the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, I just speak to not just her womb, but every part of her body, God, that it would be open, God. I pray for fertility right now in the name of Jesus, God. Yes. I pray, Lord, that you just open it up. You did it for me, and you'll do it for her, God. Yes, I might have been 40, but God, you did it for me. You did it for Hannah, and you're going to do it for Devin in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, God. I thank you for it, God. Picture it now. Picture holding that sweet child now. Devin, picture it. You have the vision. We picture it right now, Father God. All of us see you rocking that baby right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for the opening up. We thank you for the obedience for people to come forward, God. I thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace, God. Lord God, we stand on these words today for Devin and all the people that have a desire to have children in your precious name.
Yeah, Devin, Jessica, and Tanya. And I just hear Ezekiel, dead bones come alive. Yes. And I just speak that over y'all's bodies, your wombs. And I even, I'm going to be bold. I feel like the Lord is giving you names already for your children. So there's names that are already, that are coming to you, that you either already have or are coming to you right now. And I just, I pray that you are like Mary, you hold those in your heart because those babies are coming.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
You know what's interesting about her saying that thing about Mary? Isaiah prophesied that she would name her son Emmanuel. But that's not what Mary named Jesus. What did Mary name Jesus? Jesus, Yeshua. To name something meant to put a mark on something. To speak the character into something. So when Isaiah prophesied that Mary would name him Emmanuel, what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. He was prophesying a character or a mark that this wasn't just any boy. It was God with us. In the same way, I want to encourage you before you leave tonight, don't speak anything over yourselves that is opposite of what God has for you. Because the only thing that you need to be marked by is the words of the Father, that you are right, you're justified, you're pure, and you're good for all those that say yes to the name of Jesus. And I speak to the men of this house that if there's anything that is unfruitful in your life, that you would start producing in areas that you are not producing. Tonight is a turning point for everyone in this house. Amen. And you're going to start seeing miraculous things happen for the glory of God. Amen. Let's stand. Can we give God praise tonight? I'm going to close it out. And if you want to stay behind and worship, you are welcome to stay as long as you want. We ask that conversations move to the lobby. But if you just want to sit here in the presence, you stay as long as you want. Jacob's going to lead some worship, and man, it's been a good night. Before I close, is anyone, elders or prophetic leaders, any of y'all have anything before I close? You got one thing?
I wasn't sure whether to hold this or to release it until the invitation came. The Lord showed me as we gathered around the women and prayed that there have been many of you that have held in your womb, the womb of intercession, and you've come to a place where you've become frustrated because you haven't seen the birth come forth. You haven't seen the evidence of that thing that you have nurtured in the belly of intercession. And you've even, times you've even voiced your doubt. And the Lord says that tonight, He is restoring to you that faith of the birth. He is bringing forth into full fruition those things that you have prayed over, those things that you have nurtured in the belly of intercession. And He's canceling out the effect of every negative word and even every negative thought. And if you will begin to partner with Him and proclaim with Him what He says, you will bring forth into fullness of destiny the things that He has seeded in your womb. It is for His purpose and for His glory, and He will not be denied.
Yes. Amen. I feel like we need to speak no more barren wombs. Yes. On three, let's just shout it out. No more barren wombs. On three. One, two, three.
No more barren wombs.
Lord, we just thank You for everything You're doing in this place tonight. And we thank You that it doesn't stop. That we're going to walk out of here and continually be transformed, Lord. We look forward to what produces out of the people that have called You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody said, amen. Love you guys.